They should therefore save income earned as a result of stimulus in order to have it on hand for when the bill came due. The multiplier on government spending might in fact be close to zero, as each extra dollar is almost entirely offset by increased private saving. The economists behind many of these criticisms clustered in colleges in the Midwest of America, most notably the University of Chicago. Because of their proximity to America's Great Lakes, their approach to macroeconomics came to be known as the Freshwater School. They argued that macroeconomic models had to begin with equations that described how rational individuals made decisions. The economic experience of the 1970s seemed to bear out their criticisms of Keynes. Governments sought to boost slow-growing economies with fiscal and monetary stimulus, only to find that inflation and interest rates rose, even as unemployment remained high. Freshwater economists declared victory. In an article published in 1979 and entitled After Keynesian Economics, Robert Lucas and Tom Sargent, both eventual Nobel Prize winners, wrote that the flaws in Keynesian economic models were fatal. Keynesian macroeconomic models were of no value in guiding policy. These attacks, in turn, prompted the emergence of new Keynesian economists who borrowed elements of the freshwater approach while retaining the belief that recessions were market failures that could be fixed through government intervention. Because most of them were based at universities on America's coasts, they were dubbed saltwater economists. The most prominent included Stanley Fisher, now the vice chairman of the Federal Reserve, Larry Summers, a former Treasury Secretary, and Greg Mankiw, head of George W. Bush's Council of Economic Advisers. In their models, fiscal policy was all but neutered. Instead, they argued that central banks could and should do the heavy lifting of economic management, exercising a deft control that ought to cancel out the effects of government spending and squash the multiplier. Yet in Japan since the 1990s, and in most of the rich world since the recession that followed the global financial crisis, cutting interest rates to zero has proved inadequate to revive flagging economies. Many governments turned instead to fiscal stimulus to get their economies going. In America, the administration of Barack Obama succeeded in securing a stimulus package worth over $800 billion. As a new debate over multipliers flared, freshwater types stood their ground. John Cochrane of the University of Chicago said of Keynesian ideas in 2009, "It's not part of what anybody has taught graduate students since the 1960s. They are fairy tales that have been proved false. It is very comforting in times of stress to go back to the fairy tales we heard as children, but it doesn't make them less false." The practical experience of the recession gave economists plenty to study, however. Scores of papers have been published since 2008 attempting to estimate fiscal multipliers. Most suggest that, with interest rates close to zero, fiscal stimulus carries a multiplier of at least one. The IMF, for instance, concluded that the harmful multiplier for fiscal contractions was often 1.5 or more. Even as many policymakers remain committed to fiscal consolidation, plenty of economists now argue that insufficient fiscal stimulus has been among the biggest failures of the post-crisis era. Mr. Summers and Antonio Fattas suggest, for example, that austerity has substantially reduced growth, leading to levels of public debt that are higher than they would have been had enthusiastic stimulus been used to revive growth. Decades after its conception, Keynes's multiplier remains as relevant and as controversial as ever.